Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, ma'am, with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Getaway Friday, February 23rd, 2024. 19 minutes past the hour, getting a little late start this morning because of an elongated newscast. But we are kicking off the morning with two of my favorite people here, one via telephone, so we're going to go there first for a few minutes. We are joined by a man who has been so good to me over the years, legendary ABC News correspondent, host of Primetime Live, host of 2020, and this week with Sam and Cokey, the legendary Sam Donaldson. Sam, how are you?
Well, I'm great. I'm retired now, as you know, but I want to wish you a happy birthday, which is tomorrow, not today, but it's okay. We can be in advance of that. Yeah. I mean, birthdays are inevitable, and you've got another one. Congratulations.
I appreciate it, Sam. And this year, you had a seminal birthday, or have a seminal birthday.
I'm coming up on my 90th. Now, I've been telling people I've been 90 for several weeks, because, after all, I'm much closer to have finished 90. Then you start 91, and you say to everyone, well, I'm now 90. No, you're now beginning 91. Does it make a difference? Maybe not. But again, you want to be precise. After all, Scott, if we can't be accurate in the news business, what are we?
You have that right. Sam, I've got to ask you something. You know, you faced some trials and tribulations in your life. You had a you had a bout with cancer, which you were very public about. Did you ever think you'd make it to 90, 91?
I never thought about it. It wasn't on my mind at all. I guess when you're very young, although if you have any sense, you realize biologically you're going to at some point leave the earth, but you don't think about it, and you think, I'm going to live forever. And it goes on and goes on. You have your trials, tribulations. Everyone has peaks and valleys. I hope that's true. I've been very, very lucky. I mean, I've had a few valleys, but they're minor compared to the peaks. And it's not because I'm so smart. Not really. But I just have been very fortunate. So I'm 90 or 91. Take your pick.
Sam, I know we've only got you here for a few minutes, and I certainly do appreciate the birthday wishes, so I'm just going to make this as broad a question as I'll ever ask anybody. Since last we talked, we've had the special counsel report in regard to President Biden talking about his memory, former President Trump, $355 million in his case in New York, the E. Jean Carroll defamation lawsuit settled for at least we got a verdict in that, for millions of dollars, third-party candidates getting in this election. What do you make of everything going on? What's your read on everything?
Well, it's kind of chaotic, and there's nothing that's certain. Everything now appears to be up for grabs. We used to know that there was, in politics, for instance, a certain way that it was done. People were elected or defeated. The country moved forward despite itself, perhaps, but there was a feeling that we were just fine. We are the shining city on the hill. Now there's a feeling that maybe we're not fine at all. I think we're going to come through. I believe we're going to come out of this trough. I think we're going to continue the values that made the United States the shining city on the hill. But it's going to be a little dicey. The main things to me, you talked about a lot of the problems that are politically in front of us. But the big problems to me are Ukraine and Israel, because the tinderbox of possible world conflict has always existed. And those two spots are the place where if something's going to really come loose, it's going to be there. And to see our Congress not understand the Munich parallel, the Munich example, if you feed the monster, he doesn't stop. The tiger, okay, fine. I got the Sudetenland. I've got now a little piece. I've got Austria. Oh, peace in our time? No. You've got to stop Vladimir Putin. You've got to stop him in Ukraine. And to see one of our great parties dissolve into taking a marching order from a man who has no idea, apparently, what the world is like, except it's for me, is pathetic.
Sam, it's very interesting, and final question here. I've talked to some kids in their 20s who are very interested in what's going on in the world, and they are really fearful because of Putin and Ukraine and Israel and Palestine. And also tying it into the politics, apparently a poll came out this week, I think we've all read, that Biden is now behind in Michigan because of some pro-Israeli stances. They're fearful of a World War III. I mean, we don't want to be doomsday here, but how bad, is it as bad now as it has been since the end of World War II, or is this just another time with conflict?
No, I think it's worse now than since World War II because of the great powers that have now emerged. China's one. And, of course, Russia, under Putin, wants to be the dominant power in that sphere of the world. And if we don't stop this, if we don't draw the line, now, today, the Biden administration is announcing 500 additional new sanctions against Russia, because all of the economic sanctions that we put on them so far haven't stopped their economy from growing at 3% last year. The Russians are spending this money to make certain that they can finish the war in Ukraine. And we've got to stop that. We've got to stop Putin. If we think that he'll stop there, if we make a deal and we sell out to Ukraine and he keeps the territory that they've occupied at the moment and maybe even more, what's next? Latvia, Lithuania? Why not? Well, if the West won't stop him, a very obvious and deliberate aggression against the sovereign country, where do we draw the line? We've got to draw it here. I think to tell the kids, no, doomsday is always possible, I suppose, but I think we'll come through. I think the common sense, Lincoln once said, he believed in the common sense of the American people. Now, he said that, and he was then finally winning the Civil War. But in any event, I have the same feeling. The majority of Americans understand, whether they have a Harvard education or not, is not the point at all. They understand what life's about. And it's about moving forward, negotiating deals with the other side, with people who don't agree with you, and remembering the golden rule. It's very simple.
Sam, something I have to say here, and in light of the birthday tomorrow, and again, thank you for the birthday wishes, but I can safely say to you, who has been a lifelong journalist, whether it was in your 20s or now at 90, you are as sharp and as accurate and give as great an analysis as anybody you would find on any major network at any time. And I can't thank you.
You know how to flatter people, and you just got to stop that, you know, because I am, in the phrase that's common these days, a aging man with a failing memory, and often making a lot of mistakes that I didn't make when I was a mere scribbling of 80 or 85. 90 is a seminal year. But let's keep talking. Look, maybe in another decade, we'll see what you say about me then.
But, Sam, you're always so good to me. Thank you so much for the birthday wishes.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. Legendary Sam Donaldson. We thank him so much for calling in this morning. And we're going to switch gears here. And now this, you know, I was thinking the other day, somebody asked me a question. Who has been the guest who you've had on the most often through the years? And I really don't have a count on any of that. There are a lot of people who I like to have on. But if I had to venture a guess, I would probably say the person is our guest today. And that's a very good thing. She is the 40th Treasurer of the United States. She is celebrating 30 years, the 30th anniversary of her swearing in as Treasurer of the United States a week from today, next Friday, March the 1st, and there are going to be a lot of events going on in regard to that. What a pleasure it is to welcome in today, as it has always been every time we've done it, Mary Ellen Withrow. Mary Ellen, how are you?
I'm just fine, Scott, and it's a joy to be here.
Mary Ellen, here we are a week away This is a big 30th anniversary. My goodness.
I know. It's amazing, isn't it?
It really is.
Yeah.
You know, before we get into that, I do want to talk about some things Sam talked about there. My goodness. The kids really are concerned.
You believe me, everybody is, I think.
What do you make of this?
I tell you, I listened to the news this past week and all the things that Putin has done to us. It's terrible. And we should be stringing him up by the heels, you know.
Why are we treating him the way we are and not doing anything? Fear of war, fear of troops on the ground?
Yeah, right.
And in an election year, I'm sure that there are strategists who are saying, don't do this.
And I tell you, I am amazed at Navalny's wife and mother standing up like they are to support what he was trying to do. I can't believe what they're going to do to her, you know?
Mm. Well, yeah. We just passed the 2-year mark of the start of the war in Ukraine. They've been holding up. Certainly they've had some help from us financially. But how long can this really go on? Because Putin's not going to stop.
No. Well, you know, we had him. Ukraine was winning. And, of course, they've run out of ammunition, and, I mean, it's terrible what the Republicans have done.
Do you think this is to go against Biden in an election year, or do you think that they really believe this is the best thing to do?
No, they don't. They know darn well they're causing trouble. I mean, they're following Trump's wishes, and it's only he just wants to try to make himself look good, you know.
How does Joe Biden, who's up for re-election, and of course all these other things that are being thrown at him, kind of superficially, age and memory, but how does he deal with the real problems in an election year like this?
Well, it sounds like he's going to do something about the border. He's going to take an executive privilege, which I think is a great thing to do. Because why let Trump try to run the nation when he's not even in office and he's been indicted for 91 different things and it's just something else.
What are your thoughts on immigration? Everybody has a different immigration plan. W. Bush had one. Trump certainly had one, whether people liked it or not. Biden has one. Congress has one. What do you think's the best thing to do?
Well, I'm glad I got in here when I did. I mean, my family, way back. So, I mean, all those people that are traveling, I guess they're walking, and I don't know how they're getting here, but I can't imagine what the trip's like to try to get into this country. And we do need to have a reasonable amount of new people every day for every year for reasons of the economy and so forth, with working the jobs that they're after. And so, you know, we just have to work out a plan that is a moderate plan and see what happens.
Did this all start with the idea, we always hear about the immigration test and how hard it is to get in here. Is that part of the problem? Can we ease that process up a little bit? Or is it a good idea to ease it up?
Well, I don't know that you need to ease it up. I think it should stay the way it is. I almost got to do that when I was U.S. Treasurer.
Really?
Yes. I was... I just missed it by a little bit doing a session with new people coming into the country, which I thought would be really exciting.
You know, it's interesting. The other day I was talking with somebody about some of the events that are coming up next week, which we're going to announce in regard to your anniversary. And a lot of people, and I think this is just because of the age we live in now, they think you meant the politicians, which of course you did in that day. And certainly, I mean, you've met the president now, Biden. But people don't realize that you also met people who, like Margaret Thatcher, and you met people like Ann Richards, and you met people like Willard Scott, and you met personalities.
Yes, and I met heads of other countries.
Heads of other countries.
King Harold. can't forget King Harold.
Well, and it's interesting because that stuff sometimes, because whether you're doing a speech or a question and answer period, I think that stuff gets left out sometimes, but it's fascinating.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
What country did you like visiting the best?
I liked Thailand. I thought they were, they had this event for me and it was spectacular. I mean, it was gold and I was so fascinated with the way they had decorated for the event. And, well, I was selling Olympic coins is what I was doing. That's when I traveled to all the foreign countries. But theirs was the best of all.
You know, it's interesting. During your time, 94 through 2001, as Treasurer of the United States, when you really look back at it, good and bad things, but I mean, you were there during the Olympics in, I know you didn't go, but the Olympics, and there's an interesting story behind that, mm-hmm. the Olympics that were in Atlanta and the bombing that happened with that. Yeah. You were there, I believe, during the OJ trial, which captivated the news at the time. You were there during the 2000, the millennium change. You were there for the Bill Clinton scandal that we all remember. You were there for the election of 2000, which was probably the most confusing election
in history.
I watched a documentary on that the other day, and boy, I'll tell you, that brought back memories. And I wanted to ask you this because it was in that documentary. What was going on with Al Gore's people? Because the Republicans sent Jim Baker down there, and the Republicans, or the Democrats, it seemed, they said it in the documentary, didn't send the best people, and Al Gore did not want to be seen as a sore loser because the vote count got stopped. Do you think he should have fought harder?
Well, he sent down his main person. I can't remember his name.
I think it was Crist who they said went down.
Who?
Was it Crist? It was a former Secretary of State, I know.
That doesn't sound right. I remember this man that was very involved with Gore. And, well, when he didn't want to hang in there and look like he wasn't going to give up. And can you imagine what's going on today?
Well, what was so fascinating when I watched that was, you forget, but I mean, it's just factual. They didn't count all the votes in Florida.
No, they didn't. I sent Al Gore a note. I said, hang in there. And then about the next day, I think he resigned. And I was so disappointed. I'll tell you, it was such a disappointing situation.
You know something I learned from that documentary that I did not know at the time was that, because they had Gore and Bush people, it wasn't a slanted documentary, was that the night of the election, that, you know, they had that whole mess with Florida, they called it for Gore, then they took it back, and then they called it for Bush, and Al Gore jumped in his car and was going to concede.
Yeah.
And they had to stop him.
Yeah.
And say, don't do that. He wanted to have a smooth transition of power. He wanted to get it over with. And he actually had to be, he was about to go out on stage, and they had to put him in a room and say, don't do this. We haven't counted the votes.
Is that right?
I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either.
But
yeah.
I think Gore just had a thing at that time about, I want to get this over with.
Well, I think he didn't want to look like he was trying to hang on when he thought it was over, you know.
Well, and it's also fascinating, they brought up what you've always brought up, being an astute political mind yourself, was underuse of Bill Clinton, or no use of Bill Clinton.
Yeah, he was mad at Bill Clinton. He was so upset about the situation that Bill Clinton had, and he should have used him in the campaign because I think Bill Clinton would have caused him to win. Yeah.
Well, there was even a suggestion, because the Supreme Court got involved on Bush's side, and of course his brother Jeb, who was the governor of Florida at that time, and somebody said, why didn't Gore get Clinton involved? He's the sitting president of the United States.
Yeah, he was mad at him.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah.
They made up a few years later, I think.
Yeah, but, well, it's so ironic because now Gore is not, you know, with his wife. He hasn't got a divorce, but he's separated from his wife. And Bill Clinton and Hillary are still together. It's ironic.
Well, you know, that relationship between Bill and Hillary, and you got to see some of that, everybody has always thought that it's a phony marriage. What's your take on it?
No, they respect one another for their beliefs, and they're so dedicated to that.
And their grandparents now?
Yes.
And they're both pretty much retired from politics unless asked to give a speech or something. So I think it's a pretty happy life for them now.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They had a rough go there for a while.
Yeah, it was. She had a rough life. I mean, and I think a lot of people thought she should have left him, but that was her decision. That's not anybody else's decision.
That's true.
Yeah.
I talk to the kids a lot. I was telling you about their thoughts on Israel, Palestine, Ukraine, Russia. But it's interesting. Most people only know Biden, Trump, Obama. Anything before that is ancient history to them. and it's strange when you think about it.
It is strange.
I don't know why that is. I mean, I understand that's pretty much probably in their lifetime, the people that they remember. But because, you know, it's hard to believe that kids graduating high school were not born for September 11th. They would have been, if you're 18 now, you've got 4 years of Biden, 4 years of Trump, and 8 years of Obama. That's 16 years. You were only 2 years old when W. Bush was president.
Yeah.
It really, it's hard to believe that that much time has gone by.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I used to sit behind kids in an audience and think, well, they weren't even born when I was in office.
The 30 years. Now, 30 years when you say it seems like a long time. But then again, not. It was the 90s. It was the 2000s. It was after the millennium.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not really far back.
Yeah.
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 Well, what was the millennium like, being treasurer?
I was in Florida and I was on call. I thought, well, everything must have went all right. Nobody called me.
How worried was the government?
Oh, they were.
Yeah, I bet.
They were printing $100 bills like crazy.
The lead up to that, if you weren't alive during that time, it's hard to explain what the panic was like for people.
Well, they just didn't know what was going to happen because they were visualizing people getting all upset when they couldn't get their money out of the bank, you know. So,
Mary Ellen, I think we have a call here. Actually, I believe this is a call from Idaho this morning, 5:40 a.m. out in Idaho.
Oh, my goodness.
Go ahead, caller. You're on with Mary Ellen. 5:40 a.m. out there, right?
Yep, that is correct,
well,
Scott.
Well, you sound awake for 5:40 a.m.
Yep, so with my work schedule, I usually wake up around 4:30, so naturally that's just when I get up now.
So how are things in Idaho weather-wise?
Right now, I'm actually driving right now. I've got a work meeting real quick for some union business, but it is 35 degrees outside. Everything's kind of frosted over. It's going to be in the mid 50s later today once the sun comes up.
Well, hey, you're on with Mary Ellen. I know you got a meeting coming up. Do you have a question for Mary Ellen or what, something you want to say?
One question I've always had, Mary Ellen. So how did you meet Scott Spears and how did you become a regular guest on his show?
Well,
did you two meet?
He tried to get a hold of me through my son-in-law. He had Mike Rizzo as a teacher at Taft, and he called my son-in-law, and then my daughter. We got a hold of him, and he invited me to be on his program. He was at WMRN at the time, and that's how we met. And we've been friends ever since.
Absolutely. Well, I appreciate it.
That is an amazing story of how you two met. I was always curious how that connection initially formed.
Well, I will say this, and I want to make sure to say this every time I say it, because certainly these days, when you talk to a politician, there is a lot of times they try to avoid you in a way if you're the media. And I can honestly say, and I've always said this, when Mary Ellen was in office and at the height, I mean, a federal office, if you called Mary Ellen, if she wasn't in the office, because certainly she was busy at that time, I would get a phone call back within a day. And the one thing she did that I was always amazed by that no other politician has ever done is if Mary Ellen couldn't talk about something, and it was very rare that she couldn't, but she would say that to you. She'd say, I'm sorry, I can't talk about that right now, but when I can, I will. So when people say that politicians aren't honest and there's never been one, well, I can say there has, and certainly Mary Ellen is one of them.
Yeah, so kind of like what, obviously I've listened to WH for some time now, and I've listened to Mary Ellen on your show plenty of times. So kind of what I say about you as a broadcaster, I'll say about Mary Ellen. You care about that personal touch and actually having a connection with who you're talking with.
Oh, I think that's absolutely true, and I appreciate it. And hey, the next Friday, the big 30th anniversary for Mary Ellen. That's a big deal.
Oh, yeah. I'm excited.
Yeah.
So am I.
That's right. So you'll Mary Ellen will actually be on with us next Thursday from 8 to 10 live, and that whole show is going to be about festivities going on in the community, and we're going to recount Mary Ellen's days in the White House.
Okay.
So next Thursday morning, she'll be on with us live when we kick this all off.
All right, next Thursday, as long as nothing comes up, I'll be off work, so I'll be able to listen to the whole thing.
Well, I appreciate you getting up before the crack of dawn out there in Idaho.
Oh, yeah. I'm glad to always listen in when I can.
Hey, thank you so much. Bye. Hey, Mary Ellen, people listening in Idaho this morning.
How about that? Yeah,
you know,
the potato state.
The potato state. You know, it's so interesting. That's what's always been fascinating to me about radio and the new technology. We're here in Marion, Ohio.
Yeah.
Somebody listening in Idaho, but they can call in and talk to us.
Yeah.
That's fascinating.
It is. And, you know, I really appreciate the ability to call and talk all over the United States the way we can.
You know, I always tell people, if you think you aren't heard, be here for something like that, a call from Idaho.
Yes.
Yeah, they're listening everywhere. I have to tell you, Mary Ellen, and I hope she's out there listening, Mary this morning, who's a devoted listener. Last week, I think, when you stopped by for a few minutes and we were talking about the DeWine situation and aging and all that, she said, Mary Ellen for president. You could come in and solve this problem, Mary Ellen.
Boy, I wish.
Did anything like that ever appeal to you, to run for a different office?
No. You know, I was thinking about governor, but outside of that, I'll tell you, being treasurer to me was really so much fun.
Yeah.
It really was. It's an office that you've got to make sure you don't lose any money. But other than that, it's a wonderful office to take care of.
Well, and I think Mary is not saying that in jest. I mean, I think people really, they hear you. They hear that you're concise. They hear that you are well-read, and you are. And I think they really feel that you could have. I honestly think you still could, because I don't pay much attention to age. I think you could, at this point, do pretty much of anything.
Oh, I don't think so. I don't have the energy.
You know, it's interesting when we look back on, oh, we're getting a call. We'll take another call here. Hey, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, Scott. I'd like to have Mary Ellen speak to my wife just for a minute. And she always thought Mary Ellen was the really a wonderful person, like everybody does. She treats everybody as well as she can. What a woman. Here's my wife, Carol, and she'll say hello to Mary Ellen. She just loves her.
Go right ahead.
Good morning, Mary Ellen.
Well, hi, Carol. It's good to talk to you.
Well, you know what?
What?
There to the building when you had your 80th birthday, and we just loved it. And you are so sweet.
I remember that party. It was that at the party?
Yes.
Yes, okay.
It was really nice. And I cut out all your clippings of the paper. I just dearly love you.
Well, thank you so much. It's good to talk to you.
Well, thank you. It's very nice talking to you, too.
Yes, I hope you have a good day.
Well, thank you.
Uh-huh. Thank you, Carol.
Okay, Scott, happy birthday tomorrow.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you so much.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
You know, it's great. It's great to take calls like that.
Yes.
I remember that birthday party as well. That was a very nice birthday party.
It was. George Kosotis was in charge of that and worked like crazy. He was carrying things around. I remember just like it was yesterday.
I think I have a picture somewhere. I should hang it in the studio of being there with you and the First Lady of Ohio that time, Frances Strickland.
Yes, she came in and surprised me, and I was and my daughter Norma came from California and surprised me. Yeah,
that was a fun party, and I remember there were bumper stickers and things from your campaigns.
Uh-huh.
Oh, very nice event.
Yes it was great that he did that for me.
You weren't back in Marion yet at that point, were you?
I think I was, yeah. It 80, let's see, that would have been 13 years ago, yeah. Mm-hmm. I was here.
You know, talking about things that have went on, last week when you were in, and we didn't get a big long chance to talk about it, but what was funny, you know, Matt here at 20 years old was not around when you were Treasurer of the United States, but of course he's a big fan and friend now of yours, and it was fascinating to me one day when you had left, and he brought it up to you last week, when he said, he saw you giving one of those speeches back when you were in office, and he said, you know, Mary Ellen was a strong woman. She was a, I think he said powerful was the word. And I thought, well, that's, he picked up on that. And I think this is why you could have done things, senator, governor, congressperson, and president, because you, as and it's horrible to say that men and women are held up to different standards, but you always came across as strong as any man I had seen.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. Well, and you always also, I thought something that you had that nobody else had was that it was very precise. I never saw you really wavering a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
So did you ever go home at night and think, well, maybe I shouldn't have done that, maybe I should...
Well, once in a while that would happen, but, you know, I often told you, I think, about this. I would have ideas from people, and I would think, oh, that's not very good. And then I'd go home and think about it, and I thought, you know, that does make sense. You listen to people because they have a chance to think about things maybe sometimes a little bit more than you do. And I've thought about that several times, how I would think, it was usually at night when I was trying to go to sleep, I would think through what somebody had said to me. And I'd say, well, you know, that does make sense.
Mm.
Yeah.
I do want to say here, I got a message up. Brinley, who is actually our maybe our youngest listener. I believe Brinley is headed on her way to school this morning. And I believe Brinley, oh boy, I'm going to mess up here on the age. 7 or 8, I think Brinley is. But Brinley said happy early birthday. Well, thank you, Brinley. I certainly appreciate it. And we met Brinley last year at the pancake breakfast.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Yes, I remember.
That's coming up soon.
Is it?
I think first or second week of March.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so we're getting into spring.
Yes, we are, and it's nice to get into spring.
It absolutely
is.
Yes, yeah. Is spring your favorite season?
Yes.
Yeah.
Summer's pretty good, too. I like summer.
Summer's not too bad.
No.
No. When you think of the 30-year anniversary and coming up, what excites you about that?
I'll tell you, you impress me so much how you've latched on to this and what you're doing to make it such a special day. I just really appreciate that.
Well, I tell you, it's my pleasure to jump in anywhere I can. And I do want to say, I should have said this when we got the call there. By the way, we're going to hold off till Monday to make the formal announcement. But there will be a reception next Friday where people can come meet Mary Ellen. So if you're out and about, We'll announce where that's going to be and what time, and we'll celebrate that day.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm looking forward to that.
I'm really looking forward to it, because I'll tell you, it took me a while to find my speech, and I'm giving the speech that I gave that day, and I just read through that speech, and I remember doing it and all that went on. You know, it was quite a day.
When you read that speech recently, does everything hold up in there that you said 30 years ago?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, when I first thought about some of the things, I had to think through, you know, what I had accomplished, and it's pretty much mentioned in there. Yeah.
It was a great speech. I remember it very well at the time. And it was, for anybody who was alive in Marion at that time, and there were a lot of those people left, there were a lot of people in Washington who came to see you, but there were a lot of people here who were very, very excited.
Yes, and it was so great to have people come and visit. I had so many people come and visit. I had all the schools come and visit, and I would talk to the students, and I see people every day that say they came to see me when I was in office, you know.
Well, and you know, when you are in office like that, it's busy. And but yet I heard stories from so many people who said when they went to Washington, if you were not out of the country or in a different state, that if they called your office and they said they were from Marion and they had a group of kids there on their Washington, D.C. trips or whatever, they expected just maybe for you to wave or something, but you would come out and you would talk to the kids and take mm-hmm. pictures with them and sign things. And that means a lot.
Yes, yeah, it does. And it meant a lot to me that they came to visit me, you know. I'll tell you another thing that I did when I was in U.S. Treasury was judge the savings bond posters that the children had made. I judged that every year, and that was so much fun. And I would meet the people. They would come, the winners would come to Washington with their families, and their usually their teacher too would get to come, and that was a big time. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah,
Brinley is I'm being told was seven, so I was close.
Oh,
I was close.
Yes.
Yeah, our seven, we got people listening from 70 to 100 out there, so that's a pretty good range for this station.
Yes,
I appreciate that. So Brinley, have a good day at school, and thanks for the birthday wishes. Mary Ellen, when we sit back here and look at this and what you did for women, because it is important, you're always going to be the first woman on Elgin School Board. You're always going to be the first person to serve on the local, state, and national level. When you hear that at this point in your life, reflective time, what does that stuff mean to you?
Well, I'm surprised that there haven't been more women. Still, we've got a lot more women in office, but we could still use more. I think it's very important to when you vote to consider who's doing what and why. You know, as we don't always think through why somebody's running for office.
When you ran for Elgin School Board, you said it was because people had approached you and said, we need a woman on the school board.
Mm-hmm.
When did you decide, I really like politics, this is something I want to go further in?
When I won.
The Elgin School Board?
Yeah.
That early?
Yeah. I was infatuated with being on the board, and I was able to do things. You know, you're able to do things when you're in an office that you can't do when you're not in office. So that was very important to me.
I think that it is nice to have those accolades. What was it? How important was it? Because when I think about it, 69 is pre-Roe versus Wade. It is still a time where women are having difficulty getting credit cards in their name. Still a time when I don't even think you could run under your own name on the ballot.
No.
How does it feel to pave those ways to now where we have had a woman run for president, we have had a woman run for governor, we have women governors across this country, but you were really on the ground floor of this?
Yes, and it was difficult. You had to really fight as a woman to hold your place. I was running against six men in the primary for the for the state treasurer's office, and in total, I've defeated 16 men and one woman, and I don't know if that's a record or not, but I've run against a lot of men, and I think I've always encouraged women to consider running, because it takes a lot of strength, and it's very hard to do. Running for office is very hard.
If a woman came to you and said, you opened the doors, you broke ground, what advice can you give me? I've already decided I'm going to run. What advice can you give them?
Work at it as hard as you can. You can't sit back and let things happen. You have to correct things that are incorrect. Many times I've seen where they haven't corrected something that was wrong. They have to correct it right away. Yeah.
Is it ever, I hear, and I don't know why women always get this burden. Again, it's one of those things. Was it hard family-wise to be busy and not be able maybe to go on family cookouts or miss birthdays and things like that? Or were you able to manage all that?
Well, I managed most of it, but I missed some things. I missed my youngest daughter getting ready for the prom, and my husband was home making sure everything went all right. And he helped me out a lot. You know, he was there.
You know, it's very, very important, I think, as we approach this anniversary, and I think we'll mention it next week, but right there by your side, looking as happy as anybody, was your husband, Norm.
He did look happy.
He looked happy. And I thought, you know what, that is a good lesson for every man.
Yeah.
You need to have a supportive husband.
That's
there,
right.
For every woman, a supportive husband there. Because your husband, and I knew him, you could not dislike Norm. He was a sweet man.
He was having a good time too.
Yeah. And I think that it's as we run close to the end of this hour here, I think it's so important to mention him, because I always tell people, you know, Mary Ellen certainly did everything she did and did it the way it needed to be done, but it takes a supportive husband like that.
Absolutely, yeah.
And he was.
Yeah.
Mary Ellen, nobody here I would rather have for my birthday. I do sincerely mean that. And I am so excited about next week, and we'll be able to tell everybody Monday when everything's in place what the series of events is going to be. But there will be a public reception, and we'll tell you about that Monday, where people can go. And next Thursday, Mary Ellen will be on live with us, just recounting the career and everything that happened 30 years ago. Next week, 8:15 to 10 on Thursday morning. Mary Ellen, it's always a pleasure.
Yes, thank you, Scott.
Thank you, Mary Ellen.
And happy birthday.
Thank you.
Yes. It's so wonderful to play for actors.
That?
Because you can pick all the things in life as a human being that annoy you or that you would like to do to be really rotten mean. Most people are too afraid to be rotten mean, because we want people